You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practice Show. Hey, I got a good one for you today. I have a new friend, and she is the Director of Customer Marketing at Dental Intel. And we've been working back and forth on these podcast things. And not only is she brilliant, but in the midst of getting to know her, she explains some pretty cool stuff. And I'm like, oh, we're going to totally do a podcast on that one. So you're going to enjoy this as today I interview Katie Polson from Dental Intel. So before we get started, I just want to say, hey, thank you guys. This is 2022, another incredible, well, I shouldn't say incredible years. There's been a little bit of a downturn. It was called a pandemic. But as you guys are all back up and running, it's so great to hear from all of you guys. So thanks again for all of the shares, the suggestions, likes, all that kind of stuff that you guys are encouraging us with the podcast. We're just enjoying the heck out of this. So keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see. And if you enjoy today, do us a favor, just leave a review because it helps us find other like-minded people like you and help us protect this great profession. Now, Katie, I want to introduce you because, again, you're my new friend, but a new friend, first-time caller, long-time listener type of thing. This is not new working with Dental Intel, who are dear friends of ours. You guys are brilliant data engineers, you know, delivers. You guys do a great job for us as we're coaches. We help dental practices, but you guys give us the sweet nectar that we need in order to do this job, which is called the data. And I want you to talk before, because we're going to get into this very important topic about, you know, conflict resolution between, you know, mid-level providers and providers. But before we do, I want people to know who you are. So give us a little background. Yeah. Who are you?
And happy to.
Tell us more.
So happy to. Well, first of all, thank you for letting me join your podcast. I love your energy. Honestly, everybody that listens to you loves your energy. So it's just fun to be with you again. I am a dental hygienist and been practicing for over 15 years in the Salt Lake area. My dad was a dentist. My brother's a dentist. So I grew up in a dental family. And after working for a while in dentistry, I just kept getting like this feeling to continue on. And I got asked all the time, why don't you just go to dental school? And then I would say, well, because I'm the smart one in the family.
Whoa.
Just kidding. but really, I'm seeing what my dad and my brother do on a daily basis. I have so much respect for dentists and their and the dedication, especially those individual practice owners that are just grinding every day, and just so much respect and love for the profession. So I wanted to really kind of see a way that I could help with dentists in the business side of it, just because I saw what it took for my dad to run a business and also be a dentist. And so I went to graduate school in communication, and I was worried that it wasn't going to really apply to my background in dentistry, but every single thing that I did in my graduate program related back to dentistry. And because communication is such a vital part of the way that we work We communicate with our staff, we communicate with patients, and depending on whether they get the treatment or not is dependent on how well you communicated with them. So it really is, it's really vital. So I did a thesis that we're going to talk about today. I worked for Dental Intel. I subsequently stopped and I worked for Dental Intel. I do work occasionally on the side. And I'm here as Katie Polson, the master's in communication person and not the director of communication, which is okay. But that being said,
yeah,
happy to be here. Yeah.
So this is going to be fun because you're a master in communications. You wrote a thesis on this. I was lucky to get a BA in communications. Actually, it was the only thing I could get into.
The more you do something, the more you realize you don't know anything. So yeah, That's exactly how I feel about communications.
Absolutely. Now, I love this. And so take us through the title and the why behind it.
In my graduate program, I wrote a thesis on dentist and dental hygienist conflict. It's a big title, Examination Through Communication Accommodation Theory. What that means really is that the way that we communicate in organizations really is just dependent on a couple of different factors. One of them is being in an in-group and one of them is being in an out-group, which we can get to. But what I really wanted to study and focus on is this. In my practice, I was working with my brother and my dad. So any conflict that we had was easily resolved because we could just say, hey, stop doing that or whatever, you know, but right. There's a lot of, that's not the case in a lot of practices. And as a hygienist, I was the president of the Utah chapter of the American Dental Hygiene Association, rubbed shoulders with a lot of people. And then also just hearing my dad and my brother's friends talk about their experiences, there's obviously a communication breakdown between hygienists and their dentists often, or just dentists and their staff. And I wanted to see what that looked like. As you can imagine, there's not a lot of research in this field.
Right.
And so I didn't have a lot to go off of, but I took a lot of information from other professions that are like ours, like anesthesiologists and CRNAs, or nurses and nurse practitioners and doctors who do have quite a bit of data and research in this communication accommodation theory between the two, the mid-level provider and the provider, and what that looks like.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go back. So I want you to go back. You said something in-group, out-group. Tell us what that is.
Yeah. So what that means is just like on the playground, there's typically someone that's the in crowd, right? They're the ones that kind of run the show. They're the ones that the communication all kind of rolls around. And typically the person that's in charge or the leader is the one that's in the in group. And then there are people in an out group. And this happens in all types of communication. It happens a lot in organizational communication. Especially when you get even like larger groups, like as our company continues to grow, I see it in our own company as well here, where there's a pretty substantial in-group and those people kind of dictate where the company is going to go. And so I wanted to study, first of all, who was in the in-group in a dental practice, mm-hmm. who was in the out-group and why were those positions in the in-group or out-group, or does it even exist? And I had an idea, but I just wanted it verified. So through survey and interviewing with multiple different roles in the practice, hygienists and dentists, different genders in each role. I didn't want there to be any gender bias. I found that, as you can imagine, that dentists are in the out-group of their practice. I would love for this work to continue on and take an even bigger sample size than what I had, but it really is valuable to me and it's important for a lot of people to understand that if the leader is out in the out group, then who's the leader in the in group if the rest of the practice is in the in group? Okay. And typically that's either the office manager or a dental hygienist.
Okay, you got to unpackage that one because that just threw me for a loop. This might be the fundamental problem that's inherent in this whole thing. You said the dentist is in the out group. Explain why. How? How does that even happen? Yeah. I started this place. How could I be in the out group?
Right. For a lot of dentists, it happens for a lot of reasons, and which we'll get into. But and the first one, there's a couple of them. The first one is and what it all kind of resolves around is conflict. For whatever reason, and this is a whole nother thing that needs to be studied, most dentists, I don't know if they choose the profession because they don't like conflict or the profession makes them so they don't like conflict. Maybe they liked it before and now they don't because they're in the profession. But it really does draw people who are do not like conflict. And we can make a generalization that most humans don't love conflict, but for whatever reason, there's a lot of dentists who are conflict averse.
For sure.
And so they want to do their job. They show up, they do their dentistry, and they let all of the team dealings they let the office manager or somebody else in the office kind of deal with all of the drama in the practice, which then leads, or they're like, I'm the leader. And so I'm going to be over here and you guys kind of work together and then just let me know when you have a problem. Which really it makes for a huge chasm in the communication breakdown and makes it so you don't get trusted by your employees. They don't go to you with problems because you're not approachable. And so it's a big one.
Yeah. So just naturally by passively not getting involved in it and expecting others to figure it out, you fall into the out group. And so they start charting a course for how the narrative is written in your practice and you're not even involved in any of it at all. You don't even get a chance to edit the narrative. So holy moly. Okay. You're making me nervous now because this is a huge issue. It's been the challenge in dentistry forever. Actually, it's been the challenge with human beings forever.
Yeah, it's human nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's been all organizations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is very interesting. Now talk about the pitfalls. Oh, wait, go back to this. Okay, so you got mid-level provider and provider. Just help us understand even what that means and how those dynamics work on a daily basis.
Yeah. So that was really interesting to me to find that pretty much any profession where the tasks and the expectations of what they're supposed to accomplish in the practice overlay or wherever overlay a little bit, there becomes conflict. And a lot of that, actually, that conflict stems all the way out to their professional organizations is what they found. So, you know, the Anesthesiologist Professional Association and the CRNA Professional Association, they had this animosity and it starts all the way from there and kind of trickles down all the way down to practice. And I would say the same thing is true in dentistry, just being in the ADHA and seeing the ADA and all the way down. And not to say the respective organizations are wonderful. They do great things for their profession. But some of that animosity, it definitely does trickle down into private practice. And dental hygienists, we do have overlapping responsibilities in the practice. I mean, I did a lot of anesthetic for the dentist. I felt like you can feel like your hands are tied a little bit with diagnosing periodontal disease. Like you can see it, but you can't diagnose it. Or can you diagnose it? Or it's this, being seen as a provider even really. I mean, there's a lot of practices where, the dental hygienist is just treated like a member of the staff and maybe they're okay with that, but that's kind of where the root of where all the problems exist. And it's not just dentistry. It happens in any place where some of the tasks and the expectations overlap between providers. So
that's very interesting. The awareness has got to be so low. I would imagine that they don't even understand where this conflict is coming
at
from sometime. In some respects, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. An example of, I mean, like, I don't know, I'm sure, I mean, if there's any hygienists listening, I'm sure there's been a number of times where you've gone in and you've prepped the patient that you're going to do scaling and replaning. And then the doctor comes in and it's like, well, you look good. And then you're like, okay, you know, and also you add the fact that there's not time to have conflict in a busy dental practice. I mean, you can't approach them over the patient And the next patient's coming in the door. And by 5 o'clock, everybody's ready to just get out of there. You know what right. I mean? So if you don't set time to discuss these things, then they don't ever get resolved. And who wants to set time to have conflict?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the unresolved conflict eventually turns into a crisis at some point, somehow, some yeah. way. It yeah. doesn't even get discussed. So talk about the pitfalls. Okay. So,
yeah.
All right. I'm just getting my brain around this. Now it's not like this is just because you understand this, you're going to be able to make it good. There are pitfalls in this.
Yeah. Yeah. So when reviewing and surveying a bunch of these providers, hygienists and dentists, I was looking for common themes of why they were in the in-group and why were the out-group. And the most prominent theme that came about was expectations, setting expectations and kind of, there was a lot of hygienists who kind of didn't know, they felt like the line was always moving, you know, and the same with the dentists. I mean, they feel like, you know, they go to a conference and they bring this thing back. They bring dental and dental back. They're going to get everybody on board.
Right.
And then, you know, 2 weeks later, it all fizzles to the wayside because you've set the expectation, maybe not so great. You want them to use it, but you haven't showed them how or what to do with it or how to implement it or how you're going to measure if it's successful. Right. So expectations were a really big common theme in that, which you have a lot to say about expectations, I'm sure.
Oh, I love expectations. We live by a formula, E minus R equals C, expectations minus reality equals conflict. Now, just in that first variable, you have inherent challenges. Expectations, what the heck does that mean? People go, well, you told them what to expect. Like, that's pretty vague. Mm-hmm. You know, so was it the clarity? Was it the data that was involved? Like, expectations, especially when it's a moving target, that's now you're taking something vague and you're moving it all the time. And a lot of times, let's be honest, dentists don't clearly state what their expectations are. They give a general ballpark, which is even harder to hit.
Yeah. And sometimes I think people, it's not the fact that you are not doing a bad job at setting expectations, but sometimes you haven't even sat down to think what you want your expectation to be. Right. You know what I mean? You got to take the time to step aside and see, okay, what do I really want? What are my goals? And line them in with your expectations. But
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. And I'm sure the expectations are constantly being challenged by dentists being exposed to education. They come back and their expectations or their frustrations mm-hmm. just get bigger with what they're currently experiencing. So now the problem is even exacerbated. I don't want to make this bigger than it is, but like I can now see where the challenge, what other pitfalls are in this that we don't know about?
So conflict avoidance was another one that was huge, which we talked about, kind of teased at the very beginning of this. They they don't have time to have conflict when they need to, like, you don't want to do that over a patient when they notice maybe somebody's doing something wrong or, you know, that a hygienist isn't fulfilled what they were supposed to be doing. But they also just, they avoid it because of trepidation in the presence of emotion is kind of what we gathered it to be, which is a big thing. In most practices, and this is a generalization, but a lot of, you know, the leaders, the dentists are men, the women are the staff. And even vice versa, I think just having conflict brings, some people just get emotional. They cry, maybe they get defensive. And just having that trepidation of making someone feel bad is enough to avoid the conflict altogether. So instead of saying, I'm going to try to fix this problem, I'm just going to push it aside and I'll deal with it and I'll do everything myself. You know, I've heard dentists say, like, sometimes I wish I could just fire all these people and do this job on my own, you know, because that's conflict avoidance.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah. And I'm just going to play the dentist for a second. Okay, so you're talking about conflict with all these people that I've employed, but I also have people that I'm talking to all day long that I'm trying to. So I've got a dual avoidance problem going on. And you just stated earlier, I don't have any time to resolve this conflict, so I'm just going to put it aside. And so it ultimately grows. I have to ask you, like, when you were putting this all together, you're obviously a super sharp person. Like the science, the data, like how did you even gather like data to support some of these things as you were doing research?
Yeah. So very detailed questionnaire was surveyed and sent to, I verbally did the questionnaire. It was recorded. And then I would, it's just a form of the way a lot of communication research is done, because you have to do surveys that way. And then you just take all of those recordings and you take the transcriptions and it painstakingly go through everything and see themes that match up and words and phrases that match up and then you look for patterns, and if those patterns arise enough times, then you can kind of assume with research that is part of the problem, and then you do it again and again with a larger scale.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'm pretty certain if you can decode this for us, you're going to help a lot of people. There's no question.
Well, we found the reason. Now let's see if we can find a way to fix it.
Okay. So let's go into the solution aspect piece.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about the way things break down, what were some of the solutions or any of the pathways out of this?
Yeah. So, you know, as far as this research is concerned, it really is just, first of all, finding the problem, right? Finding out why the problem exists, and then move forward from there. There's a whole other aspect of this that needs to be done, which is following people, watching them make these changes, and then seeing if they actually work.
Right.
But you've seen it anecdotally with you helping coach practices enough times, and some of the resolutions that I kind of at the end of the research just kind of gave suggestions, and one of them that kind of came up often as I was asking people, how do you think that this could be fixed? And a lot of them talked about having a morning huddle.
Whoa.
or something like it, spending 15 minutes a day setting your expectations of what you expect to happen.
Right.
And the other was consistent team meetings.
Okay.
And the other was, the third was, my mind just going blank, meetings with your team members on a regular basis, individually, one-on-ones. Thank you. Jeez.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah. having good team one-on-ones and having those, be effective.
Yeah.
And so as I've taken time, after, you know, a little bit of time since I've got my graduate degree and in a sense now working for Dental Intel, those things really are imperative to running a successful business and also keeping your staff happy, because you think that by holding them accountable, it's going to make them less happy, but it doesn't. It just makes them feel like they know the plan and they know where they're going and know their expectations.
Yeah.
And using data behind it. So that the data is the one that's saying, okay, here's the goal, here's what we're planning on doing, and this is what's going to happen if we don't meet it. And you can have access to the data on your phone or whatever you're going to do.
Yeah.
And everybody is working towards a common goal.
Yeah.
And this is what we're going to give you if we meet it.
Yeah. Right? This is crazy cool, because you and I were not calibrating before we went live on this, but you're talking about huddles, meetings, and then one-on-ones, which it's not a good idea. It's imperative. Like, and so I think it was you I was talking to a couple weeks ago, and you referred to this time, day and age, as the Great Resignation. Did you mention that? Now, I don't know if you saw 60 Minutes last night.
Yeah. It's the
Did you
thing.
Watch that?
I didn't coin that term, but I didn't watch it. But yeah.
Okay, so it stopped me in my tracks, because my wife was out of town with two of our kids, and I was in town, and I was making dinner. I was telling the two that I had, quiet. She just said something. So I was watching 60 Minutes, and I was glued to the TV, because obviously, employment is harder than ever now. And this has created this situation where, I don't want to say the employee is completely in the driver's seat, and who knows how long this is going to last, but a lot of people have been very unhappy about work conditions for a long time. And dentists that did the worst through the pandemic, stopped communicating with their teams altogether and just saved their own rear ends and didn't really care about their teams. And so the problems that they had prior to the pandemic showed up big time during the pandemic. And the ones that did really well from our perspective, now I didn't write a thesis on this, but it's so cool that you actually like gave us, like they were really good communicators. So they would tell their team, look, I don't know how this, so they did huddles, one-on-ones in team meetings prior to that, because they knew if we landed the airplane and did maintenance on the ground, we could proactively solve these problems before they started happening. And I'm just going to say this, like we're opening up Pandora's box here, Katie, because you're holding the key. I think your game in your company, our game in our company, and if you're a dentist listening, you know this. Your game for the rest of your life as a business owner is to create a great group of people that like working together, put them in the right seats and the right people in the right seats and make sure that they feel very connected. And you're going to do okay. You're going to do more than okay. Would you agree with all that?
Yeah, 100%. And you know, that's part of the reason why I went to graduate school in the first place. I saw my dad and my brother do it really well. And every time I would, you know, listen to somebody talk about business and dentistry, it was always so money driven and money focused. And I just kept thinking, if we could just focus on the staff and make them a little bit happier and just want to be at work and motivate them, that second part would take care of itself.
Right.
And it makes me, unfortunately, I really don't like to see our situation where we are, especially everywhere, but you know, in dentistry, to see people lose hygienists and staff members and to not be able to fill those positions. But we've needed the focus on staff and team members in dentistry for a very long time.
Sure.
And I feel like it's definitely moving in that direction.
Right. And now we got to find the happy medium in here, because I totally agree what you're saying.
Yeah.
And then some dentists just go way overboard and like totally just like make their team members praise junkies and like give them everything they want.
Well,
and tell them, you know, you come in whenever you want, because we want, like, that's not what we're saying.
No.
Ultimately, is create a healthy environment.
Yes.
We're all committed to the right things. And ultimately, like we start to really take a look or inventory of what works here. And that's it's the core values. It's the communication. Is that what you're trying to say?
Your team is not a set it and forget it kind of
right.
thing. It's going to take work. And again, just like children, boundaries are important and they're expected and people do better in them. Yeah. So definitely your team members, you know, they're not supposed to be given, like they're not supposed to be spoiled toddlers, you know, you're supposed to
right.
give them boundaries.
Yeah.
But, cause everybody works better that way. I've been really impressed with the way that, staffing troubles has really kind of turned in practices inward. And like looking at what can we do in our little world of team members to cultivate a good culture.
Yeah, even the biggest influences in this industry have gone away from marketing and metrics and all this thing. And it's funny, like everyone's changing their tunes to core values and all these things. And I think it's great because that's really where it all works. But this is so cool. What other findings did you learn? What were some other aha moments as you were putting together this research?
Yeah, we've touched on so many of them, but I think that the other thing that was really, really interesting to me and hits home a lot is that the role of the dentist is isolated. Mm-hmm. When they are the only person in that out group and the whole team is in the in group. I mean, if you feel in your dentist that you're isolated, you're not alone in that. I think everybody, it is an isolating position to be in, especially if you put yourself in the out group in your practice, because now you don't feel like you have anybody to go to. And the way that I found this is I just asked the dentist that I interviewed. I said, you know, who's in your in group in your practice? And a lot of them said, nobody. And I don't have anybody to like bounce ideas off of or kind of include in the decisions of the practice or any of that. So they go to Dental Town or they go to their advisors or they go to whatever to find some sort of connection, which is important for sure is, But this profession is already riddled with mental health problems and issues like that, that whatever we can do to like be less, to isolate yourself less within the people that you've chosen to surround yourself with. However, I don't have a great suggestion to do that. It's just to become aware of it, really, that you don't want to be isolated.
Yeah, I agree. And while none of us is an expert on mental health, I do know one thing. We were not designed to do anything on our own. That is for sure. And when you couple that with the data, now I don't want to make this alarming, but there's so much research out there that, and some of the newest research on how many people feel connected to other human beings, it's really kind of sad. The average adult in America reports that they actually have one true friend. You know, that's kind of scary data, where the old days were like, no, like we used to get out and do a lot of things. So I'm not saying that for any other reason, that if the trend is going in a direction where you're like, okay, I'm not enjoying this, there are things we can do. And, you know, I'd never heard the term in and out group, but like I had a visceral response, Katie, as you were describing that, because I've been on the out group. And I'll tell you, it is horrible when you come into your own office that and the business you own, and you can feel what you've just stated. And that is a tough place to be. Now, things have to go bad, or you got to see some perspective in order for you to create that. But I think we want to give people like some sense of what they might be able to do. So if I'm a young dentist listening, I mean, what might be some of your suggestions? Say, hey, listen, if you're experiencing any of these things, here's some things to consider.
Yeah. Well, first of all, there we did a whole series on burnout. We have got a podcast called Growth in Dentistry. And we brought on 6 or 7 people that talked about burnout. One of them actually was a dentist who, he had problems with addiction and went through the addiction recovery program and talked about, burnout. So as far as feeling isolated and feeling burnt out, I always start, and this is just me personally in the way that because I've felt those feelings. And I've also seen it as we've talked about that here at this company, that it starts with gratitude. First of all, gratitude is a huge thing for me. I start every morning with writing something that I'm grateful for. And I'm a religious person, so I write down my grace. How have I seen a higher powers?
Yep.
And then I go outside of myself for a little bit and like take that time, and then exercise and things like that also obviously help with taking care of yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself, it's really hard to take care of other people around you. But then also letting go of a little bit of that control. There are some things in your practice that other people can be doing.
Right.
And there's other things in your practice that as a young dentist, rely on your hygienist. They spent 2 years studying periodontal disease. Rely on them. Bounce each other's ideas back and forth. Rely on your office manager. Come up with protocols. Come up with things that they think would be best. And also invest in your team with training. And also invest in your team in helping bring people in like ACT Dental who can help you figure it out, help you, give you guidance and things like that.
Yeah. So, and you know, the important point, Katie, we could do a whole hour on just a couple things you could do to improve your treatment plan. I would go back to some of the things you mentioned earlier, just the huddles, meetings and one-on-ones, and like, don't overthink it. Like a one-on-one is so powerful. My one-on-ones, I don't really overthink it. I'm not trying to say too much, just trying to check in, and you're going to see that there's a lot of things. Now, I mentioned 60 Minutes with the first piece, but did you see the second piece, which they had people from different political parties, and I forgot the name of the project. Did you see that last night?
I didn't. Okay. Well, I'm going to watch it now, though.
I'm going to totally screw it up, but there's somebody who's created a podcast, and I'm totally screwing this up because I was making dinner for the kids and I was missing out. But basically, the world's become very divided. I'm going to go back to what you said. And so this person created a movement of people that were on opposite ends who could potentially hate each other. And they're forced to sit down in a podcast and introduce each other and focus on what they have in common. And in the end, it was cool to watch how these people who might have torn each other apart find common ground and actually enjoy each other for just a little bit. And so the person that was interviewing him, now I'm going off on a tangent, but he said to the person who was creating this movement, you're up for a big task. And he goes, yes, we're counting on a miracle here because the world is headed to a very divine. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up was they said that the number one thing is they had to find pieces that were common that they could share before we went to the other stuff that we were trying to be right about or debate or stuff like that. And the same thing happens in a dental practice. When you got great core values, when you got gratitude, we start with that. Start with a meeting. So, like, you got a few things that you can share. That's a pretty good, you know, runway to get started with, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. I love that. I love the idea of having people find good in other people. Yes. We've had a lot of practices who've had success using our morning huddle, and they give one person the task, one team member, of looking over yesterday's numbers and seeing who did a good job and evaluating that. And they have to talk about that other person.
Yeah.
It's really hard to talk bad about somebody who's really bothering you if you have to find something they did good. So that's one way that I've personally seen some practices do some great things with. But
I totally agree. One of my favorite things about Dental Intel is the morning huddle, the little morning huddle, you know, the fun stuff that you guys incorporate.
Yeah, little 1 minute. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about some data, some things that we can do, and let's have a little fun. Laughter is just a great piece. And even we do our huddles here. I always goof around and try to get a little laughter. I feel it's very cohesive. So while we don't have all the answers, I mean, Katie, you're exposing a very important concept. Any last thoughts you have on some of this great research you put together?
You know, no, I really just, I'm excited again to be able to have the opportunity to again share it because, you know, you work on something forever and then you put it in the back corner and it collects dust. But really, communication again, if I can go back to where we started, is so, so imperative. And it's not something that you don't automatically know how to communicate. It's not something that is, some people obviously are better communicators naturally, but it's something that's learned. And so if you feel like you struggle with communicating, if you see it in your treatment acceptance, right? If you see that there's, or that, you know, you feel like you're not able to set those expectations or whatever, seek out people who do it well and ask them for advice, ask them to help you, reach out to ACT Dental, reach out to people like them and learn, because oftentimes we just assume that the way that we talk to people is just inherent and that's just who I am, but it can be changed and it can be developed. So
totally agree. Well, thank you so much for being on. I want people to be able to reach out to you, find you. How can I find you, find more about what you've created, what you've done? Where do I go?
Yeah. If you want more information on this or want me to send you my research, I'm happy to do it. It's unpublished at the moment, just because I have chosen to not go down that route. But you can find me at kpoulsen, P-O-U-L-S-E-N, at dentalintel.com.
That is awesome. Awesome. I cannot thank you enough for being on. This is so cool. This is stuff we care about. Like, this is the really, really good stuff. So I really appreciate this. So make sure you guys check it out. Reach out to her. Make sure you follow her podcast too. Like, your podcast is very fun. We talked about a very serious subject, but you guys actually have a lot of fun on your podcast. How do I find that? Where do I go?
Yeah. It's on Apple, Spotify, and I think we're on Google now. It's at Growth in Dentistry is the name of the podcast. And you can also go to growthindentistry.com. And just for, so you guys know, we worked with Kirk on a really great infographic for a 4-week kind of deal. That's really great. The kickoff the year, right? It's free. And that link is in his episode on our podcast. So you can find it there. So
it's awesome. Awesome. Yep. Well, thank you, Katie. Thanks. Really appreciate this. And thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share with your friends, and keep coming back. You're going to see, we're going to keep bringing you the best practices from the best practices because we want you to enjoy going to work. When your practice gets a little bit better, so does your life. So you guys enjoy your day. Keep smiling. We'll talk to you soon. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.